Acts chapter 20 for our passage that we're going to look at. Stay right here for the message tonight. The book of Acts, chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 17. Then from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Our Father, we're so thankful tonight for the wonderful privilege we have to serve a great and wonderful God. As we live in a very troubled world today, we're thankful that we serve a God who watches over each and every one of us. You direct every path you've placed us on. And I pray that you would strengthen and encourage us in a very special way. We're troubled on every side, it seems like, from time to time. But thank you for being there to be able to help us through. I pray tonight that you would bless in a special way, be with the pastor and his Bethany and the family as they're away in the situation there. We're asking you to work in a special way, give special grace and strength, work there in that situation, because you're the kind of God who cares about your people. Now I pray you'll bless our time together. Thank you for the men, women, and young people who've come out on a Wednesday night to be able to be in church, that we can meet with Almighty God. Bless us in a special way. Challenge us. Use us. Now take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Without a doubt, I say every day I think about it, and no matter what I think about, no matter what I see, whatever happens, one thing I have decided that is not going to change, that when you're a Christian, you have the best life that you could ever have. Now, that doesn't mean it's an easy life. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but we have a great life. And it's a wonderful thing to be saved. Know that heaven's your home. You know that God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Holy Spirit is our comfort. And when I need strengthening, I can open up my Bible and get something from the Word of God. The Christian life is a great life. Now, oftentimes, all of us who are Christian people living in this world, we find ourselves being tested by the things of this life. When God saved us, he put us on a path. That path, we're to stay on that path, we're to lean upon his word and lean upon him, lean upon prayer, whatever it takes. I have a path. I'm set my eyes on a mark, and that mark is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for the day that he's going to take us out of here. We're going to be with him forever. But until that day comes, everything that I face in life, I've got to realize I'm on a path to please the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not always an easy life, but when God saved us, he knew what he was doing to leave us down here. Now, I've discovered something in my almost 42 years of being a Christian. I can't live my Christian life based on feelings. I don't know about you, but my feelings change all the time. It only takes one little thing to get my feelings changed, or to get your heart beating faster, or to get something happening in your life. But you can't live your Christian life based on your feelings. I've discovered that if you're going to live a Christian life in this world where the little God has so much control, I've got to determine something. Here's what I've determined in my life. There's a twofold way that I'm going to walk my path. I've just decided I'm going to be purpose-driven. In other words, I've learned I've got a purpose in this life. God saved us, left us here, didn't take us out because he gave us a purpose. So therefore, part of living a successful Christian life is to be purpose-driven. Now, the second part of living a successful Christian life, if I'm purpose-driven, I know why I'm here. I'm here to bring glory to God. And by the way, the Christian life is bringing glory to God and being here for the good of others. You get that out of whack, you're going to have problems in your Christian life. So I'm purpose-driven. And the second part, because I'm purpose-driven, I am principle-determined. I'm going to let you explain that. I'm purpose-driven. I'm here to bring glory to God and for the good of others. Therefore, I've got to be principle determined. In other words, since I can't trust my feelings, I can't trust my opinions, I can't trust my own thoughts, I've got to live by principles. Now, it's important that we understand that. A purpose-driven, principle-determined person can make it in a troubled world no matter what comes our way. The Apostle Paul, the great servant of God, demonstrates here what I call a great Christian attitude about service. You know, we're living in a day where we find people that are not only tired in the work, but we're having people that are tired of the work. If you're not principle determined and purpose driven, you will get tired of the work of God. But I'm to be tired in the work. That's a good sign. Why? I'm carrying out a purpose. So the Apostle Paul gives us here what I call a great Christian attitude about service. It also could be called how to stay on course. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take a whole lot today to get us off course. You let one little thing happen in this life, and we forget that we have a purpose for which we're living here on earth. The Apostle Paul, who went through a lot of things in his life, is getting ready to go to the Jerusalem. He calls together all the Ephesian elders, and he has a little talk with them about service, about him. They were worried about him and what he would find in Jerusalem. They were worried about his life and all of these things. Paul says, let me tell you something. I'm purpose-driven, principle-determined. Don't worry about me. And he begins to speak to these elders. And he made that verse that many of you may have read and quoted many times and heard preached on in verse 24. He said, but none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, Paul was given a ministry, and he says, I'm going to face some things in life. And you read in Corinthians, you find out all the things he went through and all the problems that he had. But he says, it doesn't matter what is there in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter how I feel. I've determined that whatever happens in this life, none of these things are going to move me. I'm going to stay on course. And then he kind of gives a testimony of how he stayed on course. What is it that made a man who faced more things than we'll probably ever face in our life finish his course with joy? And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, the Christian life, as great as it is miserable if you're serving God without enjoying it. It's still the greatest life. And let me tell you, I don't care whether you're sick, I don't care whether you're broke, I don't care what kind of problems you have. If we focus on the purpose of why I'm here, I can do what I do. Though I may get tired, I may have a lot of problems, but I can do it with joy because I know my purpose. I know why I'm here. And I think sometimes we forget we are not here for us. We're here for him. He knew what he was doing when he took sinners saved by grace, that he guaranteed a home in heaven to walk the streets of gold where there be no more sickness, be no more difficulty, be no more night. I mean, all in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ forever. This loving God chose to leave us down here where every single day this world gets worse. Every single day, turn the television on, answer the telephone. I get frustrated just answering calls in my home. And it's not because you all are calling me. Every once in a while I get one of those, but you get frustrated. I mean, you got machines talking to you. Everything you can think of. It doesn't take much to get frustrated today. And you've got to stay focused and understand what is the purpose for being here. And Paul says, I'm a servant of the Lord. He's given me a purpose. He's given me a course to follow. And yes, a lot of things are going to happen. I'll be shipwrecked. I'll be beaten. I'll be stoned. All of these things are going to happen. But I've got my eyes on the course that he put me on. And he says, none of these things are going to move me. I'm going to stay on course. Now let's walk through his life for just a few moments. And this will be like a smorgasbord. You just pick out something here to help you. There's nobody in here tonight that if you're genuinely saved, you're not battling with something. But you're still on the course. You got to finish that course with joy. And I've got to have the attitude that the God who loved me enough to save me is a God who can also take me through this life. And I've determined I'm going to serve the Master, and none of these things that come my way are going to move me. I'm going to finish my course. I want you to look at several things about this servant. How did Paul stay on course? Look at verse 18. He says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Wherever Paul went, whatever he did, there were just certain habits he had as a servant of God because he knew his purpose. And I want to just pull two from that verse. Here's something: no matter where he went, whether he went to Jerusalem, whether he went to Ephesus, whether he went to Corinth, whether he was sick, whether they threatened to stone him, people could look at him and there were habits he had because he had a purpose. And there was a twofold habit that Paul had that everybody could see. He said, ye know. You know what he's saying? Ye know I am what I say I am, and I don't have to tell you because it's just a habit I carry. You know what? Talk is cheap in the Christian life. Walk will cost you something. And he said when he went there, Paul says, I didn't have to do a whole lot of apologizing. My purpose that God gave me was to glorify him and to help you. And when I came into Ephesus, ye know, and were convinced I was everything I said I'd be. And that tells me that if nothing's going to move me, no matter where I am, what I'm doing, I ought to be able to convince people by my habits what I am. If I say that I'm a Christian, my habits ought to back it up. If I say I love the Lord, it ought to be demonstrated. If I say that I pray, it ought to be demonstrated. And he looked at those Ephesians and says, ye know, you are convinced I practice what I preach. You know why a lot of times we don't finish our course? It's not that we're not doing things. It's just that we don't back up what we say we're doing, that other people can see we are what we say we are. He was convincing, and he said at all seasons, he was consistent. I mean, every time of the year, Paul demonstrated by his habits as a servant, he was everything he said it would be. If I'm going to finish my course, I better get some habits that will back up my conversation. And I want to be able to convince people that I'm not going to be moved because I've told you about the God that I serve. He has certain habits. He kept on. He went on to say in verse 19, he has certain habits as a servant that were convincing and consistent. He says, ye know, at all seasons, I showed you I was on a course that God had put me on. And then he went about that serving with a humble spirit. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Then he said, and many tears and temptation. You know what he's saying? I saw tears. I shed tears. There were tears of sorrow and trials of suffering, but none of those things moved me because I had a course to finish, and I want to finish it with joy. He was a servant with a humble spirit. He said in verses 20 and 21, he went on to say, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul not only had habits as a servant that were convincing and consistent, he had a humble spirit that showed compassion, and he stood up regardless of his conflicts. But Paul was the kind of servant that understood his purpose, that had a heart for souls. Paul says, I'm not here for me, I'm here for you. And Paul went about himself and says, anything that I have that's going to help you be more like Jesus Christ, I'm going to share it with you. He was concerned about the souls of mankind and sharing his life with other people. We read over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, I not only gave you the gospel, but I shared with you my very own soul. Would to God that we realize something today. If we say by the grace of God on our way to heaven, we have an obligation to pour ourselves into other people who don't have what I have. Here's a man that says, I'm busy. There are a lot of things going on in my life, but I wasn't left here on the earth to build up the Apostle Paul. God saved me, gave me some knowledge, gave me some principles, and I'm going to pour it night and day at all times. I want you to have what God gave me. I'll keep you on course if we learn to understand it's not just about us. It's about other people. I said this before when we were in the building up street years ago. We used to have a sign in the foyer. We serve for the glory of God and the good of other people. Let me tell you something. People today are hurting, and the people that are hurting, are not getting help from those of us who have the answer. They're getting help from everybody else and everything else. Would to God that we realize we have a purpose in life, and I've got to be purpose-driven and principle-determined enough that my habits as a servant will be convincing to people that I got something real. It's hard to sit down and go in a grocery store and give somebody a tract, as I hope most of us do. We give somebody a tract and invite them to church and tell them about Jesus Christ. And then what we tell them to do and tell them about our church, we don't back it up by how we behave. You go in a grocery line, you get impatient about the line. I was in Safeway yesterday. I told my wife, I can't believe that a business could have people working like the crew I saw working there yesterday. It was just unbelievable. You got one or two cashiers there, and the line is as long as you can be. I even gave, the guy had a line. He's waiting on me after I waited a long time after one person. Had a long conversation with her and her children and all the food they were buying. And then that kind of, I had to kind of calm myself a little bit there to get there. And then when I got up there and started talking to him, and I gave him a tract, then he had a long conversation with me about the tract, which you say was good, but he was working, He was representing Safeway. But you gotta be careful when you go through a line and you show something that you're not, and then you give somebody a tract that doesn't back it up. May God help us. He had a heart for souls. He was cared about people. Paul did it privately and publicly. Fourthly, how did he finish his course? His habits were convincing and consistent. That'll help. He had a humble spirit. He knew how to show compassion. He knew how to handle conflicts. He had a heart for souls. He shared himself and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He did it privately and publicly. He was a soul winner. He cared about people. He wanted people to have the gospel. But look at verses 23 and 24. Here's something that I think that's missing and a reason a lot of people get off course. He said in verse 22, "And now," notice this, notice how it's phrased, "and now, behold," I want you to take notice, he's saying, "and now, after I've told you these other things, how I care about people, my habits as a servant, the compassion I have, the humility I have," he says, "and now, behold," take notice, "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Paul not only finished his course and stayed on it because of his habits as a servant, convincing, consistent, his humble spirit, his heart for souls. But what kept him on track was he was led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice something. We tend to forget that Jesus says, "I go to the Father, but I'm going to send the Comforter," another call alongside it. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to live in our lives. And there are three things that he does that's very important if I'm going to finish my course. He said, "And behold," and "now behold." What are you saying? He said, "I am convinced of what I'm about to do because the Holy Spirit tells me."
Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing in this life that I ever attempt to do that the Holy Spirit of God doesn't speak to me. He said, I'm convinced I'm going to Jerusalem. I know they want to kill me there. I know a lot of things there. But the Holy Spirit of God has convinced me that I need to go. And then he says, I'm compelled to go there. And since he has, I go bound in the Spirit. If he's convinced me that I ought to do something, then I ought to be convicted enough to do it. And then he went on to say in that same verse there, he says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now picture what he's saying. I'm on a course. I'm going someplace. It's dangerous where I'm going. I had a little talk with the Lord. You follow the Apostle Paul. When he was on that ship and God came and spoke to him, and we still have the same privilege today. Every single time, whether I get down and pray, whatever I'm going through in my life, I have the comfort that comes along, and he will convict me, he will compel me, he will constrain me, and when something happens in my life, he will comfort me because I've got a course to finish. And Paul says, I'm going bound in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit has convinced me, compelled me, and comforted me that I'm to go where he sent me to go because I have a course to follow. What did God we understand? We're not in this alone. We're not by ourselves. We have the comfort that lives in us. And by the way, whenever the Holy Spirit ever convicts you, convinces you to do something, it'll always line up with his word. If you ever decide you want to know the will of God, you go to the word, then you pray, seek counsel, and then you better have peace. Not 3 out of 4, but 4 out of 4. Holy Spirit always agrees with his word. Paul says, none of these things moved me because what I'm doing, where I'm going, what I'm behaving, I've been compelled by the Holy Spirit of God. I've been convinced that I ought to do it. And I've been comforted all the way. Therefore, none of these things move me. Number 5, Paul finished his course because he had his head on straight. Look at verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. Paul says, I've got my head on straight. Here's how a Christian servant knows that he or she has his or her head on straight. You understand you have a purpose, and when you understand that purpose, you learn to deny self. It's not about me. You learn to deny self, become devoted to the Savior, and then you realize you have a duty to sinners. Paul said, let me tell you something. It's not about me. I'm not afraid to go to Jerusalem. I'm not afraid of what's out there because, you know, it's not about me. I'm not doing this for me. I'm devoted to my Savior who called me, put me on this path, and I have a duty take what God's given me and use it for his honor and glory. Therefore, he says, none of these things move me. I have one more, but I want to go back and walk through this again. He says, I'm on a course. I want to finish this course, but I want to finish it with joy. He says, when I go into a city, or when I do something, he says, I have certain habits that my life demonstrated. Those habits are convincing and they're consistent. No Christian will ever finish his or her course if your habits are not convincing and consistent. Nobody wants a yo-yo. We want people that are consistent in what they're doing, and your habits are convincing. He said, I have a humble spirit. I know how to show compassion. And he says, I know how I'm to handle sorrow. I'm not going to be moved by any of these things. He says, I've got a heart for souls. I'm going to share. I'm going to be a soul winner and tell people about Jesus. I'm directed by the Holy Spirit of God. He convinced me to do what I've done. He compelled me to go. And he comforted me when I went through difficult times. And helped me to keep my head straight, to realize I'm to deny myself. I'm to be devoted to my Savior. I've got a duty to reach other people. And then he finished this with verses 26 and 27 when he said this. Wherefore, the wherefore, when you see wherefore, see what it's there for. The wherefore is all, everything else he said about finishing his course. He said, you've seen my habits, my humble spirit, my heart for souls. The Holy Spirit has directed me. I've got my head on straight. And then he said in verse 26, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know what? I got a happy spirit. When I look back at my life, and I look at what I've done, and I look at the habits that I've demonstrated, I look at the humble spirit I showed. I look at the heart I had for souls. He said, I kept my head straight. And he says, you know what? I'm a happy spirit. I can look back and take you to record that I did my very best to carry out what God called me to do. And I can lay my head on a pillow as he was in jail, and wherever he went, he could look back on his life and says, I'll take you to record that from the time he called me until it's all finished, I've got peace in my heart that I've done the very best that I could do with what God gave me to do for his honor and glory. That's a great Christian attitude to be able to have. It's so sad today that we talk about how great God is. We talk about how bad the world is. And both of those are true. We have great God, and the world is bad. But God is omniscient. He knows all and knew exactly what he was doing. And he chose to save us and then put us on a path to serve him. My challenge tonight for every Christian here is, let's have a good Christian attitude about serving God. Let's start by making sure our habits as servants of God are convincing and consistent. And I don't mean convincing to us, because we're convinced of a lot of things that we ought not to be doing. I'm talking about being convinced by other people that we're doing what God wants us to do. May God help us to have the kind of a humble spirit where we can have compassion when we need it. And if we're suffering difficulties, we can be comforted that I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do. And may God give us a heart for souls. And for heaven's sake, don't even attempt to live in this life and serve in this life without yielding to a Holy Spirit of God who will convince us daily what we ought to do, compel us that we should do it, and then comfort us when things come against us because we are doing it. And when it's all said and done, let's keep our head on straight. And realize this, I'll deny self. because I'm devoted to the Savior. And I have a duty to sinners to get the gospel out. And when I finish my course, I'm going to finish it with joy. And I'm going to lay my head on the pillow and say, I've got a happy spirit because I've done the very best that I could do with what God gave me to do to finish my course with joy. Don't you think that's a good Christian attitude? Let's work on having it. Some of the most unhappy people I deal with on a daily basis are Christian people. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong when we who name the name of Jesus, we talk about him, preach about him, sing about him, but we don't oftentimes have habits that convince anybody how great this God is. And may God help us to understand, I've got a purpose. He didn't leave us here for ourselves. He left us here to glorify him, and may our lives be for the good of other people. And he gave us all the help that we need. He gave us the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And he's a good, convincing Holy Spirit. He's good at compelling. And he's mighty good at comforting. And may God help us to say, come on, world. Come on, Satan. Come on, sin. Come on, self. But none of these things, none of these things are going to move me, because I'm going to finish my course. And guess what? I'm going to do it with joy. And I'm going to bring it to record that I did the very best that I could to finish my course. Our Father, we even thank you that you even allow us the privilege of being a servant. And I know that we're not the Apostle Paul, but he was a man. He was a big-time sinner. Said he was the chief of sinners. He got saved by the same Savior. He possessed the same Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'd help each of us. Help us to start right at the very beginning. We ought to examine our habits and make sure that our habits are convincing that we're children of God. We ought to make sure that we're consistent in whatever we do. Give us a heart for people. Help us to keep our head on straight. Deny self where necessary because we're devoted to the Savior. Oh, we have a duty for sinful people. I pray tonight if there be one here that's never availed themselves of the wonderful gospel that Jesus died, was buried, was raised from the dead. You'll save anyone who will repent of their sins, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. May you bless, speak to hearts during the invitation time, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.